You have your Bibles this morning. If you would find the book of Titus, the book of Titus. Titus is located in the New Testament. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a black hardcover book in the pew in front of you. You can feel free to use that Bible. Maybe somebody will notice you do not have one and will pick it up and hand it to you. And we'll be so delighted for you to be able to follow along. We always want you to be able to follow along to what God's Word has to say. You notice the beautiful roses in front of me. You can say I'm a thorn among roses today, can't you? These were left here and were donated for today by Lillard and Nancy, now Sexton. And yesterday, Lillard and Nancy were married. They've been married less than 24 hours, and he's already in the back, and she's already down front. I'll tell you. I appreciate you serving back there, Brother Lillard. I don't know really how to explain it to you other than God laid it on my heart. You understand, like I do, when God lays something on your heart or pricks your mind with it, it's hard to let go. Seems like when God is leading you to a verse of Scripture or leading you down a pathway closer to Him, everything you run into can be found in that section of God's Word. Seems like as God begins to teach a lesson and unveil to you what He has for you, He doesn't let you outside of the parameters of that Scripture. And in many of your areas of life, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your home, whether it be in your job, whether it be in your future, whatever that would partake of, you find yourself kind of caught in this one passage of Scripture, and you find all the application and all the opportunity to move around in there, and it's just a delight. God has so burdened my heart for the church for the next couple of weeks on the book of Titus, and in the book of Titus. And I really enjoy this little book. It was a book written by the Apostle Paul, written to a young man who's a pastor. Now, I do find some identification there. You can make your own application with that. This young man, Paul, is one of Paul's favorites. He's one of Paul's trainees. He's one of Paul's preacher boys. And he puts this young man in charge of an island, that island being the island of Crete. You may understand the island of Crete. You find the first mention in Acts chapter 27 as Paul is there shipwrecked, and they're there and they begin to start churches. And anywhere the Apostle Paul went, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I appreciate that about Plantation Baptist Church. Anywhere we go, we take the name of Jesus with us. And even this week at our Senior Saints Luncheon, we had a man raise his hand and say, "Preacher, I just want to give a testimony that I was able to see two people come to know the Lord this week as we witnessed Christ." And I appreciate that. Taking the name of Christ, winning souls. And so wherever Paul went, he did that. And if you were to go, and you can do this on your own study, you come to Acts chapter 27, and they're on the island there, and they start house churches everywhere. And that's how they began back in those days. And all over the island, Paul was preaching the gospel, and people were responding, and people were getting saved, and they were those group of people were going together, and they were beginning churches and churches and churches, and the gospel was spreading across that little development. Paul was not there very long, and Paul had to leave. Paul understanding the importance of little new babies. I've had my wife has had four little new babies. I've just been around, I guess. I don't know what happened there, but we have four children. We understand the birth of a new little baby and the importance there and the love and the care that takes place in that. And these new believers were like little babes in Christ. And the Apostle Paul had great wisdom, and he had the ability to see down the road. And he knew that if he didn't care for them, if he didn't give some instruction for them, it wouldn't be long that they would be carried about by other kinds of doctrine, or somebody could come in and deceive them. And so he knew that they were young and they were immature, and they needed to be strengthened in themselves. And so if you come to verse number 1, this is the motive where Paul writes to Titus. He says, "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. By the way, that promise is in Jesus Christ. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus. Now that's a great introduction. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, verse number 5 will be our beginning text here. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. The Apostle Paul leaves the island of Crete, but he leaves Titus there. And he leaves Titus there to begin to establish and to begin to provide leadership in these churches. The Apostle Paul knew that a new believer, a person who just received Christ, if they were not plugged into a local New Testament church, they would be vulnerable to the enemy. And God's people said, all right. So Paul knew the importance of starting and having leadership on that island and leading people into the church and leading them in the Word of God. And so he left Titus there, and the Bible says it this way, to set in order the things that are wanting. That word set in order is a marvelous word. Anybody in here ever broken a bone? Anybody ever had one of your bones reset? Could I see your hand? I've never broken a bone. I've dislocated a thumb before, but I've never broken a bone. So I don't know what it is to have that bone reset. But that phrase, to set in order, is really to be translated, and if you look at that, it means setting a bone in its proper place. Now, when you break a bone, there's great pain. I would understand that. Many of you would atone to that. And sometimes the bone can come through the skin. Sometimes the bone can be dislodged within the skin. But you know what it is to go, to have them set the bone. They put a splint or they put a cast to keep the bone there. And then the arm or the bone can mend and the bone can heal. Paul said, now Titus, I the gospel has invaded the island of Crete, and people are getting saved all over the island, and Paul was there, but Paul left. Obviously, he left Titus there, and some problems have come up. And so Titus has written to the Apostle Paul, or got word to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is responding back to Titus, and really, basically, the Apostle Paul is saying, Titus, that's why I left you in Crete. Titus says, I've got all these problems. I've got all these new Christians. I've got all these people that say they're saved, but they're going every which direction. There's no order here. There's no understanding here. The homes are in disarray. The marriages are in disarray. The children are in disarray. The employers are not in treating the employees right. The employees are not treating the employers right. And Titus communicates to Paul, and he says, we've got a mess here. And I'm sure that letter probably said something. You need to come back. And Paul writes the letter back to Titus, and Paul says, Titus, that's why I left you there. I left you there to set the bone straight and to ordain pastors in these churches and provide leadership for these people so the Christian can find his way on the island of Crete. By the way, that's what the church is today. Our church today, and why you come to church today, is so that our bones can be set in order. How do our bones get broken? Our bones get broken with the philosophy of the world today. Our bones get broken by vision that would be outside of God's word. Our bones get broken by society. Our bones get broken sometimes by our hopes and our dreams. They get broken by our aspirations. And so we walk all out into the world all week taking the gospel. We're in the fight, but sometimes our bones get broken. And when you come to the church is supposed to be a place where that bone can be set in order. Now, if you have a broken bone and you fall and break your bone, where is the first place you go? To the doctors. You can drive yourself, or we can take you by ambulance. It's interesting. A lot of times, and we find this today, we walk into the world and our bones get broke, but sometimes we don't come to the doctor. Sometimes we don't come to the church, and if we're not careful as believers, we got a lot of believers kind of walking in a Christian life, and our bones are broken, and our arm is broken, and our feet are broken, and we walk in immense pain, but we never come get the bones set in order. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really follow that. Could you help me a little bit with that? Sure. Some of us are really walking in immense pain in our marriages. We walk in it with broken bones in our family relations. We got some broken bones over here as a business owner. And so our bones have been a little bit broken. And if we're not careful, we run from the doctor instead of letting the church set those bones in order for us to go forward and know how to go forward in Jesus' name. And so I want to talk to us for the next few weeks, preach to us on this fact, the church set in order. The church set in order. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the doctrine of the church. By the way, did you know this? There's nothing greater on earth that the Lord Jesus loves than the church. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Come on, begotten son. All right? God gave the world Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 says that the Lord Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the who? For the church. So God gave Christ so the world could be saved. Jesus, being obedient to the Father, humbled himself, we're taught that in the book of Philippians, with the joy set before him, knowing people that would receive Christ. So the Lord Jesus gave himself for the church. Now, does that mean that only some people can be saved and others can't? No. God gave Christ for the whole world so the whole world can be saved. But once you're saved, you're brought into the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. And so there's nothing more loved on this earth than the church. We're promised God, his presence. We're promised Christ's protection. We also are promised his return. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day that Jesus comes to get the church. Amen. I look forward to that. I take great, great comfort knowing that I belong to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the body of Christ as a whole, that I've been saved. Why? Because our world is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I don't know about you, but I turn on Fox News or CNN, and the whole world is in sheer panic, and the whole world is in sheer chaos, and I can't keep up. I go to CNN, and I got Wolf Blitzer there. I go to Fox News, and I've got O'Reilly there. And I go to CNBC, and I got Joe Scarborough there. And then I got Katie Couric, and then I got our local guys. And I got it coming from all over the place. I can't keep up. And a lot of times as a Christian, we kind of try to keep up. And so we get focused in and we're trying to receive all this like we're God. Let me tell you, there's one God and he's in control. And so I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about the news broadcast. I'm interested in those things, but my hope has found a resting place in the Word of God. Amen. And so that's where I lock, stock, and barrel on the Word of God. And the Bible tells me, and you may disagree with me on this, but the Bible tells me that before the tribulation, before all that wrath comes in, before the whole world burns up, that sky's going to split, the trump's going to sound, the angel's going to shout, the ground going to give up the dead. The sea's going to give up the dead. They're going to go. And then we're all those that know Jesus Christ will be caught up in the air to meet him face to face. If that's going to be you, say amen. All right. So that's great hope for me. So yes, O'Reilly makes me nervous. And these people make me nervous a little bit. But if I get back in God's word, I have the truth. All right. And so it is a great, great privilege to be saved and to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, here's where I'm driving this ship to. A lot of people come today, and we kind of have this mentality that when I come to church, I need the preacher to really help me with my needs. And there's something to that. And a lot of people come today and they say, well, when I come to church, I really need my felt needs touched. I just need to be able to worship and I need to be able to do these things. And I need something practical, Pastor. Give me something that's going to help my family. Give me something that's going to help me in this area. Give me something I can wrap my teeth around. Okay, now let me just show you a little bit of the danger of that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, that the natural man is incapable of receiving the things of God. Do you believe that? Yeah, the natural man's not. The Bible says that there's one person who is the illuminator of Scripture to us. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator of Scripture. How do you and I converse and respond and relate to God? We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it through the great privilege of knowing Him. And so when we come to church, if we're not careful, we get so focused on just getting our things we can wrap our mind around. But you know what the problem with that is? Is I don't really understand the Scripture with my mind. I understand the Scripture with my what? My spirit. My spirit. And so if we're not careful, I can prepare messages that will hit you in your mind. I graduated high school. Would you believe that? There were 5 in my graduating class. I was valedictorian. I whooped all 4 of those suckers. They didn't stand a chance. There was 5 of them, and they couldn't compete with my brains. I went to college, and I got a bachelor's degree. They came to me, and they said, you should sign up for grad school. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. I will not do that at all. I got that diploma. I signed a note promising I'd pay them $15,000. I still owed them. And I went on. And I left all that there. Anybody can scratch our minds. We can do that. But I want you to know something. If you come in here and all the preacher can do is scratch your mind, you will never grow or know the peace and power of the Word of God. And so it's that our spirits can be spoken to by the Word. And so there is an attack today to remove the church. Now let me tell you what's happening, and then I'm going to get to where we're going. They're trying to take God out of everything. You've heard about this. We know that. They want the name of God, the things of God, removed off of the face of the earth. When they get done, who's they? Those forces that are motivated by hell. You say, preacher, that's strong. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. So the Congress is not our enemy. They may be used of the enemy, but the enemy is trying to remove everything that has to do with God and the Bible and righteousness off of the face of the earth. When they get done removing the stones of the Ten Commandments, and when they get done taking the pictures off the wall, and when they get done going through our schools and eliminating our textbooks, and when they get done going through our card shops and taking all the cards, when they have absolutely removed everything they possibly can, that gives God glory, who do you think is going to be next? The living, redeemed church of God. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I believe it the same reason you do. The Bible tells me so. He said, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But we're going to receive that. So there is an attack to eliminate the church. But the church is vital. And so now, if there's not a front attack, there's a rear attack. And the rear attack is, let's change a little bit the way we do church. And this is important because we need this doctrine. Let's change the way we do church, and let's make it a little bit, let's make it a little bit less comfortable, a little bit less offensive, a little bit less this. And so we've geared ourselves now to be less offensive. Well, if you're going to be less offensive, the first thing you got to do is remove the Word of God, because it's offended. Amen. By the way, nobody ever in this building ever received Jesus Christ without being offended with God's Word. You had to be offended over your sin. I mean, because I have to confess my sin. And if I'm going to confess my sin, there had to be offense from God's Word. The cross is offensive. So there was offense that came. And so let's just change our offense and just, preacher, just meet my practical needs, my wallet. I didn't bring my wallet. My wallet, my personal needs. Just help me a little bit there. Give me something I can take out. Make me feel good. Send me out the door and I'll be okay. The problem with that is that's not biblical. That is not biblical. What is the church? The most practical, I wrote this down. I've been trying to get this one statement. I'm going to give it to you. The most practical thing that the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church can do for you and your family is teach you the doctrine of the local New Testament church. Now, pastor, why would you say that? If I'm going to make a statement like that, I've got to back it with scripture. Look at Titus. Okay. Now, look at Titus chapter 1. Verse number 5, Paul says, Titus, I have let you there to set the bones in order in these churches. First thing he tells them to do is provide leadership. Now go to verse number 1 of chapter number 2. But speak thou the things which become, what's the word, church? Sound doctrine. You heard the story about the lady who says, "Preacher, I really enjoy your preaching. You don't preach no doctrine or nothing." All right? If that's ever said about me, I quit. All right? You say, "Pastor, what's the greatest thing we can do is get back to teaching doctrine. There's nothing more practical than doctrine. We have, if we're not careful, we shift our focus away from the mooring and the foundation that we have. And somehow we think that 2 + 2 can sometimes be irrelevant. When is 2 + 2 ever irrelevant? When is truth ever irrelevant? Truth is never irrelevant. Now, if I get over here and feel like sometimes 2 + 2, I don't want it to be 4 today. I'd like it to be 6 today because I need a raise. So I want 2 + 2 to be 6 and not 4. Then I have grossly misunderstood truth. But truth is never irrelevant to my life. And so we've got to a place in church, if we're not careful, and we've got to a place in our homes, and I talk to the dad and the husband, and we've got to a place, mother, in dealing with our children, and we've got to a place, owner, business owner, boss, employer, and we get to a place sometimes, employee or servant, we've got to a place where we've kind of shoveled past doctrine, and we just want practical little things that we can help us with. Paul said, "Timothy, set the bone in order, and when you set that bone, speak sound doctrine." Now, I want to say something to every dad and every husband in the building, and I want you to listen to me. If you don't own one, tomorrow morning, you need to go, come get me, and I'll go with you, and we need to go get some kind of theology. A book that teaches doctrine, a doctrine's book. Say, "Preacher, I don't even read the funnies. How can I read a doctrine?" You know why? Because your spirit will be quickened. Dad, you need to know doctrine for your son. Mother, you need to know doctrine for your daughter. Husband, you need to know doctrine for your wife. At church, we have got to get back to sound doctrine or we're going to lose the battle. Amen. All right, so we got to get back to sound doctrine. Now, he go to verse number 1 of chapter number 3. He says, "Put them in mind." What is he saying? He's saying, be aggressive. Put these people in a position where their mind is challenged. Put them in a position where they have understanding that we've walked away from sound doctrine, that their bones are broken, that they need to be set in order. You say, "Well, Pastor, this message, that kind of position, it's not going to grow a church. It's not going to be real favorable in the community." Well, I want you to know something, and let's get something clear right now. Tom Hunter is not interested in growing a church. Your pastor's not interested in that. What am I interested in? Reaching people with Jesus Christ. A church growth will take care of itself. I'm interested in that. What gives us boldness? Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. And here we go. Now I'm going to give you some things and then we're going to be done. This is going to be a long thing. He said in chapter 15, verse number 2, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all," what's the word, church? Authority, all right? Now he follows that with this statement, "Let no man despise thee." What's he saying? He's saying, "Titus, get in there, set those bones in order, teach doctrine, and when everybody laughs at you, and everybody thinks you're a fool, when everybody makes fun of you, let no man despise you, knowing that you are doing what God wants you to do." And so that's why I come. There is an attack today against the church, and I want us to realize how important the local New Testament church is in our lives. And the most practical thing I can do for you today is teach you the importance of the church. See, most of us, now get this, most of us, if we're not careful, we squeeze church into our life. Squeeze it into our life. I appreciate that. I want you to come. I want you to come. And I do. I appreciate the hard time we get that you have getting here. I appreciate that 1 hour drive on Wednesday night when you're here. I appreciate when you're dog tired coming Sunday night to listen. I understand what it is to squeeze church in our life. But really and truthfully, if we want to be victorious and you really want power and you really want to understand God's word and you really want to understand something practical for your family, it's not where I squeeze church into my life. It's my life ought to be squeezed into the church. say, preacher, that's different. No, it's not different. And the book of Titus, it's different, but it's powerful. And the book of Titus is going to show us, I mean, you go through this book, it talks about everything from our homes to our jobs to our businesses to our relations. Everything we need to know in life is being wrapped up in the doctrine that church teaches from the Word of God. Why is the church so important? All right, let me tell you a couple of things why it's important. Did you know that it's the only institution that Jesus Christ is building today? It's the only institution that Christ is building today. It's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the house of God. It's the center for world missions. It's where God's to be glorified. It's what Christ purchased with his own blood. It's Christ's own body. There's nothing more important on earth to Jesus Christ than the church. Now, let me ask you a question. I'll ask myself the same question. Then I have to look at my life and say, Tom, what in my life is more important than the church? Because if there's nothing more important in Christ's life than the church, then I look at mine. You say, Pastor, are you trying just to manipulate us? No, I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. I understand we work jobs. I understand that we have families, and I understand we have vacations, and I understand we have some money to travel on. All those things are good, and all those things are fine. But ultimately, as a husband, as a father, as a man, as an employee, I have to look and see where does the church of Jesus Christ, the biblically based church, the house of God fit in my life? Well, why, preacher, would it be so important? Because every area of my life should be taught and touched down in the church. Where should you be taught how to be a husband? From God's word in the church. Where should you be taught how to raise a family? Not from Dr. Phil. I know we look a little bit alike, but Dr. Phil's a good guy. And Oprah, God bless Oprah, she's a neat lady. And yeah, I understand all those things. But I'm going to tell you something. If you align your home to them, that will align contrary to the word of God. And if you align your home contrary to the word of God, what are you going to get? Bad consequences to that. So see, here's now this statement I don't want to say, but God wants me to say it. And this one affects me, not you. If you can't come to a church and know the church is teaching you the Bible, and if you can't come and know that the preacher is spirit-filled and filled with power and loves God and has studied the word and is preaching you the truth, then you need to find a church where that is true. Okay? Okay. If you don't think that's here, then you need to find a church. But for God's sake, don't go to some church where they teach you from another book other than the Holy Book. Okay? And I love that dear man, that precious man, and he wrote a book. But you can't teach people from a book outside of the book of God. It's the book filled with power to change our lives. So there's an attack on that. And so you say, well, Pastor, Well, then let's talk a little bit about what the church is not for our understanding. This is all introduction, and then next week I'll get the message. Understand this. No, the church is not a man-made organization. It's not Tom's church. It's not Tom's church. It's not Beverly's church. Hallelujah, praise God. All right? I didn't make this church. This church doesn't live and breathe because of me. You know, this church goes no forward because of the man, Tom Hunter. We go forward because the man, Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's not where this is a man-made organization and this is purchased with the blood of Christ. This is holy ground. You know why we fix up the place around here to be pretty and try to do the best we can? Because it's a holy place. It's holy ground. It's God's church. I didn't make this church. If it's a man-made organization, all right, if it's man-made organization, then that means that things are open for debate and things will change. But see, the church was founded by the eternal God who changes not. Boy, they're pushing me to change. My preacher friends are pushing me to change. Society's telling me to change. Every church in this city's telling me to change. They're telling me you'll never be effective for God if you don't make some changes, Tom. Then I say, I don't care. I don't care. Then I won't be affected. I am not leaving the blessed book of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's not a man-made organization. It's not a Bible study. Don't supplement Bible study with church. It's not a Bible study. A church is organized. I'm going to teach you that. It's got officers. It's got position. It's got authority. And God help me now. Give me grace. Sometimes ladies like Bible studies, and we try to help there, and we try to do some things. But you can never say, "Well, I went to Bible study because I didn't. So now I don't have to go to church." Don't substitute Bible study for the blood-bought church of God. It's not a Bible study. It's not Christendom. It's not an ecumenical movement. I Malcolm preaches his message to me Sunday morning, and I preach mine to him. And then you guys aren't here when we do that. His is usually longer than mine. Can you believe that? He told me this illustration today. He said, "Preacher," he said, "let me give you an illustration to help you with your message." He said, "I met a lady one day, and we were telling them about our church. And she said, she says, I used to be Baptist. She says, but now I'm a Catholic." And Malcolm's mother was there. And Malcolm's mother is more bold than Malcolm. And if you know Malcolm, good Lord, that's saying a lot. She said, "Oh, honey, you're so confused." She said, "You never were a Baptist." Let me teach you something about this. I'm not trying to pick you. There's Catholics here today. There's Presbyterians here today. I'm sure there's people from all over here today. I am a Baptist today because I believe that the Baptist denomination aligns the best with Scripture. That's why I'm a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of it. But more than that, I am a blood-bought child of God. All right? So let's not think that the church is just everybody who stands up and says God is good. And let's not think that the church is just everybody who comes to service or puts money in the offering plate or all of our people that gather today in church houses. That's not necessarily the church. The church is somebody who has been born again by Jesus Christ, water baptized into the body of Christ and in the local New Testament church, and faithful to God. That is the position of the church, represented in locality by our church, a New Testament Baptist church with a membership that I can join. We're not just some ecumenical movement, all right? And so understanding those things, Paul writes to Titus and he says, "Now set the bone in order so people can have an understanding of the church. Now write these 5 points down, and I'll come back and get them next week, and we'll pray, and then we'll go eat lunch, all right?" In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, Paul says, "Titus, here's some things needed for a church to be properly constituted. If you're going to have a proper church, number one, you better have a proper gospel." And God's people said, amen. You see, any church not founded on salvation by grace through faith, not founded on the crucifixion, resurrection of the Lord Jesus, not founded by the power of Pentecost and the presence and the filling of the Spirit of God, is not a recognized church by the Word of God. Okay? What makes this church recognized as by God? Well, it's recognized because we're founded on the Word of God. Read our charter statement. Read our bylaws. We're founded on the Word of God. We obey. We're founded on salvation by grace through faith. And so we have a proper gospel. He says in those verses, if you're going to have a proper gospel, then you better have proper preaching. And I think you have good proper preaching myself, but that'll leave that up to you. All right. Number two, in verses 5 to 9, and we're going to dig into this in a little bit later in our study, you got to have proper leadership. Now, he says in verse number 5, in every city ordain elders. The word elder, the word bishop, and the word pastor is the same word. It refers to the pastor. Verse number 7 says, for a bishop must be blameless. And it gives a list of understanding here of what proper leadership is all about. How it's to be organized, what the pastor is to be like, later on about the deacons, where they're to go, how that fits together. You see, there's proper leadership. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. We touched on this. If it's going to be properly constituted, it's going to be with proper doctrine. Verse number 1, proper doctrine on man, sin, death, heaven, hell, angels, prophecy, the church, every other Bible truth will have proper doctrine. Now let me say something real quick. The church is not allowed to have its own doctrine. We're not. What gives us the authority to have doctrine? God's word. Any doctrine Plantation Baptist Church holds to was not something that Howard Lehman created. It was not something that Bernie Rogers created. It will not be something that I get out of my brain. If I submit to you my opinion as the pastor and we jump on that as doctrine, I could no more be wicked than if I was to curse God myself. Right? Where does the church get its authority for doctrine? From the Word of God. Everything we hold to had better be supported from this book. It is God's holy word. And so we need proper doctrine. And if you go on, look at verse number 2. I love this. Let me tell you how practical doctrine is. It talks about the aged men. That's the old men. How old you got to be old, pastor? Well, in my case, you got to at least be 36. And I think you're old. Grave, temperate. Look at these old women. I've never met an old lady. Wouldn't know what one was if I saw her. I've never, for my own self-preservation, I've never met an aged lady in my life. All right. But the aged ladies are to, look at verse number 4. They're to teach the young women. Now, I know something about them. I caught me one of them. Young women. Look about that word, verse number 4, husbands. Look at that word in verse number 4, children. Look in verse number 5. You see the word home. Look at the word, verse number 6, young men. Look at the word there, good works, of verse number 7. Look at the word there in verse number 8 about having no evil thing to say of you, of my testimony. Look in verse number 9, all of you who work for somebody. Look at you in verse number 9, all of you that have people that work for you, masters. You come to verse number 11, it teaches us the grace of God. Look at verse number 12, it teaches us about how to live soberly, righteously, and godly for this present world. Look at verse 13, it sets our attitude straight and our vision that we should be looking for the appearing of our great God who gave himself for us. Well, no wonder Paul said, Titus, when you get to verse 15, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority these things. Preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell us that the most practical thing I can do for all those lists of people is teach you the doctrine of God's book. And so it's practical for our lives. It's right there. How our homes could be run. How our children can be for the glory of God. Number 4, verses 2 to 12, talks about proper living. And I just went through all that. And then it goes into discipline. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. I love my church. If you love your church, say amen. I thank God that I'm a member of Plantation Baptist Church. I thank God for this church. I don't know about you, but I need the church. I do. I need you. I need you to hug me. I need you to shake my hand. I need you to tell me you did a good job, preacher. When I have a prayer request, I need you to pray. When my kids are in the hospital, I need at least your thought that you know my kids are sick. I need, when I have a need, if you could provide it, I'd like you to provide my need. I need to come in here and hear you sing. I thank God for that man that sits up there and plays that, and those women that sit up there and play that. I need to come in here and have the church sing and take me to the throne of grace. And I just imagine us singing before the Lord. I need the good music of heaven. I need to be preached to and to be taught to. And I need for those things. I need my church, and so do you. Man, we all need our church. So here's what I'm asking. I'm trying to put us to an understanding of the importance of the church in our life, and then I'm going to put to you a desire to commit to not say, I go to Plantation Baptist Church, or that's the church, but in my heart, I want it to be, that's my church. That's my church. That's my church. It bothers me if my church needs a facelift. It bothers me when my church is hurting, if somebody has a death. That's my church. That's my church. And then as we study, we'll realize that God gave me a gift to serve in this church. That's my church. I want to serve for God's glory somewhere. That's my church. Tom, I got 2 tickets. You know where I'm going with this. To see the Dolphins. I think you should skip church and go. Well, who's going to preach? Who cares? Ain't get anybody better than you. I agree. See, I don't want you to squeeze the church into your life. I want us to think, one day he's coming to get me, and he purchased me with his own blood, and he loves the church, and I am part of the church. I don't deserve it. It's not my worth. But he washed me and cleansed me and made me his bride. And I don't want to squeeze church into my life. I want to say, God, I love you. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting me in the church of God and putting me into your body. And thank me for this local New Testament church. And I want to give my life to furthering the gospel, serving the Lord, and encouraging my church. And God's people said, amen. We need each other. And I tell you, I love you, and I'm so delighted. But more than that, you need Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Christ, I'm going to invite you in a moment to be saved. If you're not a member of this church, but you're an attender, you should be a member. The Bible teaches church membership. It does. You read Acts chapter 2. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you this story. You see, in the Bible days, they didn't have church hopping. Okay, now here's how we do this. In the Bible days, you got saved and you were water baptized and you were added to the church. That made you a member. Now, in our church, we still do that. You get saved and you get water baptized. That makes you a member. But some of the godliest people and greatest people in our church and good people, they didn't get saved and water baptized in our church. They got saved and water baptized in a church across town, across the states, in a different country. So when you come to our church, you just don't be osmosis. You present yourself. And so we receive you based on a testimony that you've been saved and water baptized. I can give you biblical proof of that. Romans 16 verse number 1. Paul said, receive Phoebe. She's coming. She's a servant of the church. She loves the Lord. You receive her into that membership. So you're either baptized into membership by water or you come and be. But I want you to know this. To attend a church and not be a member is to like be a football player and have no team. It's to be like a soldier and not join the army. It's to be like a citizen and not pay your... Well, forget that. We don't pay our taxes anyway. But to be blood bought, redeemed in the church and not be part of the local New Testament church doesn't make sense. You say, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Then here's, you can, that's fine. That's your position. You don't have to believe that. But when we get to heaven, I'll be right. I'll be right. You say, Preacher, you're. Well, he said, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Is that what he said? He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. So if it says it in the book, then sir, ma'am, respectfully, you have to take it up with the Lord Jesus. But I invite you to come join the family. I want you to know something. You'll never regret it. I love my church. I love the Lord. And I thank God for today. Stand if you would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, what a great privilege. What a great privilege to be saved. God, I was wicked. I had no hope. I had no peace. And I'll never forget the day I finally humbled my heart, confessed myself a sinner, and received salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and Him alone. God, I was born again that day, the greatest day of my life. And I never regret. I honestly say, Lord, not one time in my life have I ever regretted receiving Christ. I think about how hard I clutched onto my sin, how hard I dug my heels. I look back and I think, how could I have been so foolish? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. How could I have been so foolish to think that you would not be everything you promised to be? I love you for saving me. I know there's people in here that need to be saved. God, I pray you give courage to the man or woman today to leave their seat in just a moment, come to the altar and tell Brother Jay, I want to be saved. God, it's there for them, purchased by Christ. And God, I love my church. I love it. Now, I don't just love it because I'm the pastor. I love it because I'm a man. I have a family, needs, and I love these people. And I want you to be in our church like it was there in Romans chapter 16. And I almost preached that this morning, but I'll get to it later. Man, he started going to everybody in that church, and they were meeting one another's needs, and they were encouraging each other. And the love of God was there, and enthusiasm was there, and they were winning souls to Christ. Well, that's what I want Plantation Baptist Church. God, you know anything. We live in a mess down here in Broward County. We walk outside these doors, people hate Christ. But I can come. Forsake not the assembling of myself, and I can bring my children, and I can bring my wife, and I can be taught the things of God. How priceless is that? How priceless is it for me to be taught to be a good husband and a good father? So God, I want our people to see that, yeah, the news may tell us this, but God, the Bible says we're on the winning side. Victory. We're going to sing to dismiss the service. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Oh, God, give us a love for our church. Heads bowed and eyes closed before we sing page number 326. Here's our invitation. The invitation today is, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive salvation by grace through faith. I'm going to ask you to come forward today and open your heart and let Christ come in and cleanse you from your sin. You say, preacher, I'd be too embarrassed. Everybody in this church is praying that you'll move and come forward. Everybody is. They want you to be saved. Secondly, I'm going to ask God's people to be obedient. I'm going to open up for membership if you want to come and present yourself for membership. And I'm going to ask the membership to commit yourself to praying for our church. Pray for our church. Seek out as to what God would have you to do in our church. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. Truly, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Page 326, we'll sing the first verse, and that will be our invitation song. God, have your way now, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.